Wausau is similar to many of the other states in the state of Wisconsin, where we've been impacted by heroin, meth, and other drugs. But in the last 24 months, we've been severely impacted by heroin, the use and abuse of heroin. In fact, in the last 24 months, we have had 224 incidents where officers have been involved in heroin investigations. Now, that doesn't count the drug team that works drug possessions and drug sales every single day. These are the 224 incidents that I'm referring to are incidents where the officers have come in contact with heroin on the street. We've had 10 deaths. We've had 14 near deaths recently. And officers on a daily basis are seeing the impact that heroin has in our community. A couple quick examples of what the officers are seeing on the street. A teenager chases mother with a knife while she's high on drugs. A male caught stealing televisions from our local hospital and selling them at the pawn shop for his heroin addiction. Mother leaves young children alone in her house while she leaves to go make a drug sale. Husband spends a couple's savings in selling house possessions for his drug habit. Father reports 16-year-old son cooking and selling drugs. Officer finds a female 8 months pregnant injecting heroin while she's sitting in her car. Mother gives birth to a baby and baby tests positive for heroin. And just last week, we had a drug addicted father who kidnapped his drug addicted newly born baby, led police on a chase which ended with him crashing, being ejected, and dying. Those are just a few examples just recent examples of what the officers are seeing on the street. Drug addiction knows no boundaries. Addiction does not care about a person's status in the community. It does not care about the person's profession, their salary, their IQ, or their race. Officers see the power of addiction destroy lives on a regular basis. This is a community problem which needs a community response. We have excellent community partners that we have partnered with that have made a difference in the Wausau area. Marathon County Alcohol and Other Drug Partnership Council has done an amazing job in educating the community in the dangers of drug abuse and use through the Pushback to Drugs campaign. The EOD partnership has been fighting the drug battle for many years and does an outstanding job of being leaders in our community and pushing for policy changes. We have another great partner in the Department of Justice who has awarded the Wausau Police Department with a $25,000 grant to combat the heroin abuse. This will greatly enhance our efforts to continue to educate the community and provide resources that we normally could not offer. Thank you, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, for your support and as our community strives to prevent drug abuse. At this time, I'd like to introduce Council President Lisa Rasmussen.
Good afternoon. The impact of drug sale and addiction in our community is easy to see, and heroin in particular. Residents see it, teachers, medical professionals, police, children, everyone. The cost to our community has been great. The jail is full of people who are there because substance abuse or sale of some substance caused them to commit a crime, either while under the influence or to sustain a habit. As a local policymaker, devotion of additional resources to law enforcement, prevention, and treatment is at the forefront of every conversation we have at City Hall. Everything from housing blight and urban decay to criminal behavior, homelessness, domestic abuse, truancy, child abuse, and incompetent parenting, we see it all. Substance abuse has become a key common denominator in all of these things. The cost is tremendous, but one of the greatest costs is the lives of members of our community that are taken or forever altered by substance abuse, either their own or someone else's. Wausau has many of the problems that we used to think were big city problems. We have to face them head on and not back down, because no one is immune to the toll that drug abuse takes on a society. In Wausau, we've worked hard to empower neighborhoods to stand up to this problem. We've engaged schools, employers, and local leaders. Our police work night and day to control the spread of this poison. But we cannot rest. We continue this fight because where there is addiction, there are suppliers. Both need to be addressed, but in fundamentally different ways. The statistics are terrifying, but we all must work together to stare down this monster known as heroin. Thankfully, we have strong advocates and partners at the local, state, and county levels. One of our key advocates in Marathon County is our drug-free communities coordinator with the Marathon County Health Department, who many of us know from her tireless efforts with the Marathon County AOD Partnership Council, Melissa Dodd.
Thank you for that very nice introduction, Lisa. Okay, so on behalf of the Marathon County Alcohol and Other Drug Partnership, I would like to thank the Attorney General Van Hollen, the Department of Justice, Representative Nygren, Wausau Police Department, local media, and our community partners for being part of this today. We know that heroin, prescription medications, and illicit drugs is a threat to our public health and safety. Over the last 3 years, the burden of drug abuse, especially heroin, has surged to epidemic levels. Increases in drug-related crime, overdose deaths, hepatitis C and HIV infections due to IV drug use, and referrals to drug treatment programs continue to put a strain on our local resources. The ripple effect of drug abuse crosses all neighborhoods, all ages, all social classes, and all races. We are all impacted by drug abuse, and we all play part in the solution. We know that we need to go beyond education to really make a change in our community. We need to act, and we need to act fast. We look forward to integrating the Department of Justice's new exciting resource to reach our most susceptible population, our teens and young adults. The investment by the Attorney General's Office in the city of Wausau through the statewide grant will help us build capacity in both professionals as well as concerned citizens. It also allows us to expand our outreach and engage the community in this fight against heroin. So thank you so much for that. Over the last 4 months, the Pushback Against Drug Abuse Initiative, launched in support with the Judd S. Alexander Foundation, as well as Kinsey Green Marketing Group, continues to gain momentum and engage the community. The nature of my job really allows me to work with many great people. I have heard the stories of those caught in the web of addiction. I have felt the heartbreak of the families of those that is left in its wake. But there is hope. When it comes to addiction, we know that prevention works. Treatment is effective, and that people recover. We are confident that with the adequate resources in prevention, treatment, and enforcement, we can beat this. We have to. So there are many ways that people can get involved, both at the individual levels as well as organizations and businesses. It's as easy as logging on to our pushbackdrugs.com website or the new and awesome flyeffect.com website. You can connect through the social media outlets, get involved in local coalition efforts, and bring this information into your home, schools, and work sites. Margaret Mead, a famed anthropologist, once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Join us, support us, invest in us. It's time to push back against drug abuse and pass along the great information shared here today. Thank you.
And we're very pleased to have with us today Representative John Nygren from Marinette. Mr. Nygren is an integral part of the state's process to find a solution and resolve this heroin abuse, for he is the chair of our state budget committee. So, Mr. Nygren.
Thank you. You know, as a public official, I'm normally used to doing speeches just off the cuff, but what I'm going to talk about is pretty personal and pretty emotional for me, so I've got my notes just to make sure I share everything with you that's appropriate. First of all, I want to thank my colleague, Representative Wright, and Representative Krug for joining me here today. And we'll talk about Representative Krug and our effort in a little bit. But actually, it's good to be back in Wausau. I wish it was under better circumstances to talk about this issue. But actually, I was a former resident. My second daughter was born here in Wausau in 1998. So it's good to be back. My oldest daughter, Cassie, who's now 24, we learned when she was 18 that she had had a drug problem. Only at that point in time, we didn't understand the severity of it. The pretty girl who was once a straight-A student and had lofty dreams for her future and for career goals began not coming home at night and not going to school. Her mom and I went to the police department, we went to the schools, we went to the human services, all to try and get help to get her back on track. Unfortunately, as an adult, there was little, if anything, we could do. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get her back on track for school, and like I said, the bright, smart girl ended up not graduating from high school. While that was pretty disappointing as a parent, it was the only the beginning of a six-year struggle we have faced as a family, and Cassie specifically. I'll never forget the day that Cassie told me that she was addicted to heroin. I think I was literally sick to my stomach. Having grown up in Marinette, thinking about the heroin problems of the 60s and 70s, it was something done in dark alleys, maybe by rock stars, or basically low-level ne'er-do-wells of our society. It wasn't done in small towns of 11,000 like my own, and it especially wasn't done by girls with a very bright future and everything to lose. My community, like my daughter's origin of the drug problem, actually started from the same place. It started with OxyContin. Unfortunately, and you can kind of understand as a parent or as a person maybe a little bit beyond the youth how it might start, because a pill is something that we're prescribed when we pull a muscle in our back. It sits in our medicine cabinet. It's controlled. It's not as scary. To perpetuate the problem in the Marinette area, we had had a doctor in Menominee, Michigan, who was selling prescriptions for profit. He magnified that problem, unfortunately, and has now addicted a generation of our young people. After we were aware of the problem, we were able to convince her to go to treatment, but that opportunity, as well as subsequent opportunities for treatment, have not proven successful, which is pretty common with addictions of heroin. Through the years, our family has endured a lot of different hardships. Some of them you can't even compare because they're lower on the level, but disappearance of cash, valuables, family heirlooms. We've had burglaries in our house on multiple occasions. But the biggest fear was that, I think with every parent of a child that's addicted, the biggest fear was that phone call that you never knew when it might come or if it might come. And unfortunately, that phone call did come back a few years ago. Got a call from Cassie's mom, frantic call. She had gotten an anonymous call from one of Cassie's friends saying that she was passed out on her bathroom floor. She was, as I said, she was frantic. I was able to calm her down a little bit, said, dial 911, I'm closer, I'll go. So I was able to get there. Her friends, by the way, had left her, potentially to die, which might give a new definition of friends. But I found her purple, needle still in her arm, and struggling to breathe. I'm not a trained EMT, but I did my best to try and clear her airways, to try and help her breathe, and pray to God that the EMTs would show up before she died. Thankfully, they did arrive, and they were able to administer Narcan, which reversed the effects of the drug, and she came out of it. Our community, and I'm very supportive of their efforts from a law enforcement standpoint and from a judicial standpoint, is very strict on drugs because it's becoming such a huge problem. It was the only answer they knew was to be strict and to end up putting people in jail or prison. Cassie, even though she only had a minor possession, was actually sentenced to 3 years in state prison. 18 months of that was deferred, and she's been released twice since then, both times relapsing. And as a parent, I think most of us would grow up and say one of the most difficult things we would go through as a parent was seeing our child in prison. I can tell you that's nothing compared to seeing her dying on your floor in front of you. As a public figure, I was hesitant to talk about this issue because it is obviously quite personal. But the more I looked into it, the more I learned it was happening to my friends and neighbors, to their kids. It was happening to people throughout the state of Wisconsin, and it was a call to action to try and make some changes to our state and to fight this problem. If this issue is hitting small towns like mine, it's hitting large communities in the state of Wisconsin. It's hitting wealthy families. It's hitting poor families. It's hitting middle class families. So this is not a drug that is discriminating. It doesn't care whether you're a Republican, doesn't care if you're a Democrat. It's affecting all of our families and something we need to react to. So to me, the best course of action is to support initiatives like the Attorney General is doing here today, to get the awareness out there to parents, because I don't think the average parent would suspect that this problem is in Wausau, Wisconsin, or this problem is in Marinette, Wisconsin. So I'm really proud of the initiatives of the Department of Justice to get the word out there. And I'm confident that this is going to be one tool that we have to help fight the problem, but that there are more tools that are needed. That's why Representative Krug and I from Wisconsin Rapids will be introducing some pieces of legislation coming up. Just give you a brief description of what those are. We'll be introducing legislation to require use of an ID at a pharmacy when picking up a narcotic drug. It's something I wasn't aware was an issue, but it was brought to me by Brown County Drug Task Force that I could just go pick up a prescription for someone else, and off I go. With the new drug monitoring program, that kind of puts a little bit of a hole in that system, so this is something we're looking at. We're also looking at improving our clean sweep programs to be able to dispose of drugs. We have some very successful programs already, but they are limited in what drugs they can actually take. In fact, they couldn't take heroin if somebody wanted to take it and turn it in. So that's something we're looking at. We're also looking at a 911 Good Samaritan law with limited immunity for somebody that actually makes that phone call and saves a life. We're also, according to the Department of Health Services Administrative Code, Narcan can only be administered by certain levels of EMT. The department is supportive in changing that, so all first responders could be able to administer Narcan to save a life. In addition to those initiatives, we're also looking at additional funding for underserviced areas for treatment. Alternatives, small towns like mine don't necessarily have that right now, and that's something we're exploring, as well as significant reform to the community corrections initiatives and laws that are on the books. I do want to point out, some successes in this avenue. In this past state budget, we did double the amount of money that we put into treatment alternatives and treatment and diversion programs. And we also added more money for drug courts in areas that don't already have them as another tool to be able to help us. None of these are silver bullets to do away with the problem, but working together, I think we can get there, and I think we can save some lives, and I think that's the most important thing we should be focusing on. So, you know, I once again want to applaud Attorney General Van Hollen for his effort and his leadership on this issue. As an elected official, I can tell you the most important thing for me is going home and listening to my constituents, and there's a cry from them to try and do something to make a difference. And he's doing the same when listening to not only the constituents of Wisconsin, but his partners in law enforcement throughout the whole state. And this is a day that is exciting in that it's the first step towards changing some lives. So with that, I want to introduce Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen.
I'm too much of a loudmouth to need the microphone. So thank you, Representative Nygren. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your sharing. I appreciate your leadership. And I appreciate everybody being here. Why are we here? Really the first question to be answered. And I really think there are three main aspects to it. Most of the question, I think, can be answered by just listening to Representative Nygren's story in and of itself. But taking that story a few steps further, we're really trying to do something, and we're trying aggressively to do something from every angle possible to address the scourge of heroin use, addiction, and abuse throughout the state of Wisconsin, and hopefully to some degree nationwide. And today is a day really to kick that off, and to kick off a number of aspects of it. First of all, we need to approach this heroin problem from a number of different perspectives. As Representative Nygren referenced, we listen to our constituents. A little harder for me with 5.5 million constituents to reach out and listen to all of them. But I'm a big believer in local control. I'm a big believer that the Department of Justice and the state is here to listen to and support our local officials. And we work closely with law enforcement leaders. And I appreciate the fact that we have the sheriff and the chiefs and others from law enforcement and public safety community here, because they're the ones who we need to listen to and provide support to. And I can tell you, as I traveled around this state and met with all the law enforcement leaders in individual counties, as I met with community leaders, as I went to law enforcement conferences and the like 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, the subject matter of heroin rarely came up. It's been an issue for a number of years in the Milwaukee area and the ring counties around Milwaukee. We've had a heroin initiative, one of its kind initiative, that my Division of Criminal Investigation has been running in the Milwaukee area for quite some time now to take down major drug trafficking organizations that have heroin as their product of choice. Beyond that, we had done a few things, but it was a very focused regional issue. Most recently, as I travel around the state and listen to law enforcement leaders, whether they be urban, rural, north, south, east, west, I heard a chorus of our number one public safety issue is the heroin epidemic. Please do something to help us with the heroin epidemic. We don't know what to do. Well, I'm the last one to step forward and say that I know what to do either. But I was committed with a plea for help on a very, very important subject matter that we do something. Obviously, heroin isn't the only public safety issue we have. The issues of other controlled substances doesn't go away. The issues of child sex abuse and internet crimes against children and numerous other things don't go away and need our focus as well. But why do we need to focus on heroin? Well, first of all, the expanse of it in and of itself. The crime laboratories, which my office runs, had received heroin samples submitted for analysis in 2005 from 22 different counties. Under a third of the counties in the state of Wisconsin. Admittedly, still a significant problem, most of them regional, southeast Wisconsin. 6 years later, in 2011, we received samples for analysis from 37 counties. We're now over half the state. And the amazing jump came from 2011 to 2012, when we went from submissions from 37 counties to submissions from 56 out of 72. We have an exploding problem that we need to address. We need to find what's going to work, and we need to address it on a statewide basis. I had a call to action to try to find a way that we could better help local law enforcement, local communities, local public safety agencies better do their jobs. Why heroin? Why has it grown? Why does it deserve our focus perhaps more than some of the other controlled substances that have been statewide problems for years? Well, it's a different drug, and a lot of people don't understand the differences, which is part of why we're kicking off this media campaign statewide today and yesterday, is to make sure people understand heroin, the differences, the dangers, and what can be done about it. Heroin's an opiate. Unlike many other drugs, the more you take, the purer it is, the higher you get. Opiates, the more you take, the purer they are, the more dead you get. And there's not much that can be done about it unless you're fortunate enough to have first responders or others who are close enough to administer Narcan, which will save your life until the next time that comes along that you abuse heroin because of the horrible addictions again. And sooner or later, and we've experienced this with many parents who are part of our campaign, the loved one is lost. And it's not because they didn't want to get out of the spiral, it's because they couldn't get out of the spiral because of the addictive qualities. Why is heroin burgeoned? Well, we all know about the prescription drug abuse problem that we've had in our society for a number of years that we have been fighting, and I think to some degree successfully fighting. Well, prescription drugs, I think, kind of have an onus, as Representative Nygren mentioned, that, you know, they're not really illicit use of controlled substances. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a drug user. I'm not a druggie because I use prescription drugs. They're prescribed by doctors. They're my parents' drugs. They can't be that bad. You know, my family members were taking them. I'm just taking them out of the medicine cabinet, this and that. Well, prescription drug abuse has blossomed and took off. The prescription drugs that have opiates in them can really only be substituted by these addicts with other opiates, such as heroin. And the problem that we've had, which has in a way been a good problem, is our fight against prescription drug abuse has started to work. Prescription drugs are harder to find. Pharmaceuticals have found ways to change the chemical formulation so they're harder to use to get the high for those people who are addicted. They're becoming more expensive. The education component so that people are turning back their unused prescription drugs at take-back days has been more successful. Unfortunately, we've now got a generation, mostly in the 16 to 26-year-old range, of teens and young adults who have already used prescription drugs and opiates. They may be addicted to them already. They may be abusers and need these opiates basically just to be able to function normally anymore, not even to get high. And so where do they turn? They're turning to heroin. Heroin is no longer the onus drug that only the worst junkies use because it has to be injected and it has a horrible reputation as it did in our youth. But the formulation of that has been changed. It no longer has to be injected. It's easier to access. It's more readily distributed. It's less expensive. And unfortunately for us, it's pure. And the purities are certainly unknown. And even worse yet, they are being used by kind of a new generation of drug users and abusers who really don't know what they're getting into. And so they're being used by many people who otherwise weren't considered to be part of the criminal element and don't have the knowledge, quite frankly, to do this and survive, as some of the people we have to deal with in society unfortunately do. So we've got a scourge of heroin. It's growing out of control. It's worse than anybody would know, and it's a statewide problem. So we're trying to take a bunch of different approaches. In the Department of Justice, we've now trained DCI agents in every one of our field offices to specialize in heroin investigations. We are training our prosecutors throughout the state out of the Department of Justice to handle Len Bias or heroin overdose type of cases. We are giving out grant money, as is being awarded here in Wausau and Marathon County here today. We're giving out four grants. This is statewide. This is the fourth one we announced. And quite frankly, it's because your community is a very forward-thinking, multidisciplinary group who came up with a good idea of how to spend that money. And we're giving out grant money in different parts of Wisconsin to be used in different ways because we don't know what the solution is. The locals are in the best position to come up with the solutions in their community, solutions that may work elsewhere. We want to send out some trial balloons, see what might work, and hopefully then take those successes and export them around the state, maybe around the country, with the help of the representatives representing both political parties who are here today. We know we have the ear of the legislature. We know we have the ear of the governor. People know that heroin's a problem. People want to do something about it. We want to spend our money wisely and do something that's going to make a difference. And so fortunately, Wausau is one of those areas where we're able to spend money to try something and see if it works. But very importantly, we talk about all the different aspects. We want to work on education. We want to work on prevention. So a primary purpose in our travels across the state today to make this announcement is to talk about the Fly Effect, which is our new public media campaign. We knew from listening to the locals that one of the biggest problems we had is that we have these youth who are using heroin and they don't know the spiral they're getting into. They use prescription drugs. They don't know that the downward spiral that this is going to cause in their lives. They don't understand how heroin's different from every other drug and how it's going to take control of them versus them having control of it. Their parents have no idea. You look at somebody like Representative Nygren and so many other parents of children, teens, young adults who are heroin addicts, you wouldn't think that they would be in families where they were thinking their kids were going to school and becoming addicted to drugs that were going to potentially take their lives. I have two young children at home, two teenagers. I like to think that these things won't affect them either, especially based upon what I do, but you can't be too sure. We need to make sure that everybody, the children and the young adults and the parents and all the other family members and people throughout the state and country are aware of the horrific tendencies of heroin. So the flyeffect.com is the website that I encourage you all to visit. We took the time and we took considerable resources out of the Department of Justice to invest in a marketing company that we knew could reach out and try to hit the demographic that we're trying to hit in a way that will draw them in and educate them. We can beat our children and young adults over the head with information about don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and we all know that they have a tendency to tune us out. But we've got great marketing professionals in this world who know how to reach out to our kids and market to them. We certainly know that from a lot of other things that are happening in our society. Let's use those same experts to find a way to get the message about heroin to them. We spent a lot of effort, and I think we've succeeded in our marketing program called the Fly Effect. The Fly Effect is going to be TV commercials. It's going to be radio commercials. It's going to be banners and other ads on the internet. It's going to be posters such as the ones up here on the electronic boards that we have many different types that we're hoping to distribute throughout businesses, law enforcement agencies, schools, throughout the community, the whole state of Wisconsin, to make these people think, to educate people about the scourge of heroin, and to make the young people who may be most susceptible think about, wait a minute, this maybe isn't a harmless little try-it-once sort of deal. Most recent studies show that 75% of the people who use heroin once use it at least one more time after that. That's an amazing statistic of recurrence. We need to make sure that we catch these young people before they try it once, before they get into prescription drugs that leads to the heroin addiction, certainly before they try it a second time and become addicted to it. So to do that, between all of these ads and these banners, we're trying to drive people to the website of flyeffect.com. We've got testimonials, we've got interactive tools there that are meant specifically to engage the demographic who we believe is most inclined to use, abuse, or even try heroin. We think it's a public relations campaign that can work. We're putting in a lot of effort into it, into marketing it. I personally believe that if we save one child from becoming addicted to heroin, not to mention dying from a heroin overdose, it's been successful. I have every reason to believe we'll be far, far more successful than that. I've listened to Representative Nygren's story many times now. I'm drawn near tears even now when I hear it again. Every time, it's heartbreaking. I hate to see any more parents be put in the situation, or loved ones be put in the situation that he's put in, not mention those parents who haven't been so fortunate as to be there to save the life of their child. We have the opportunity, I think, now from a multidisciplinary approach to make a difference. A big part of that is going to be our public media education and prevention campaign. We encourage you strongly to visit, to participate, to download materials off our website, to get posters and put them up. TheFlyEffect.com. I think we're going to save lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney General.
We are very committed to this community. We know that 70 to 80% of everything that law enforcement is involved in is drug related. Now, you hear about the big crime issues, like recently when we had two gun store burglaries. 50 guns were stolen and used out on our streets, including many other crimes committed by that same group, homicides. They were addicted. They did that because they were looking for their next fix. But all crimes, even down to the lowest level of breaking into a car, burglaries, things like that, many of those people are trying to get money for their fix. So we realize the impact that this has on our community. And we're very committed. We have a very active drug team. Our local drug team consists of members from Marathon County Sheriff's Department, Everest Metro, Wausau Police Department. They are so busy that they can't keep up. So we, Wausau itself has come up with a different plan to work some of the other areas that the drug team can't. So we're very committed to this cause. And I do thank Attorney General and Mr. Nygren for their statewide efforts as we try to resolve this issue. There's some materials here on the table and outside on that table for you to pick up on your way out. And at this time, I guess we'll open it up in case you have any questions or comments that you'd like to address with the panel.
Happy.
Yes, Shireen.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how you plan to spend this money? How is this grant money going to be used specifically here in the Wausau area?
Yeah, mainly it's going to be for educational purposes. And we have contracted with Kinsey Green, local marketing company, so that we can really increase our efforts for pushback. And I want to bring that up again because even though this is now a statewide effort, we came together as a community about a year ago and said, you know, we're facing some serious difficulties and we need some help. As I mentioned before, this is a community issue that needs a community response. And we came up with a pushback campaign. And so this money will help us advance our pushback campaign, go into the schools and help educate. And again, the more education that our community has, the better response that we can have. Larry, did you have a question?
That was it.
Oh, okay. 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 Thank you very much.
Okay, we have audio.